Blog Talk Radio.
Speak to everyone listening to this talk. I appreciate you taking the time, you know, to learn about our efforts, and we hope ultimately that what I say today and some of the information I'm present to you will motivate you to want to get involved with our efforts. My name is Askari Donso, and I'm one of the leaders, one of the few leaders of the Virginia Prisoner of Conscience movement. Today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about what our function is, how we plan on becoming a little bit more centralized, and how it is that you all can help us. Before I get into that, I want to say thank you to all the people at Coalition for Justice, particularly Margaret Breslow, who is the head of Coalition for Justice, for supporting us, sponsoring us, and actually caring about some of the most vulnerable populations in the country and the world and right here in the state of Virginia. So the Virginia Prison of Conscience, in order to fully understand that, we got to kind of take it back and put it into context, talk a little bit about the history of the term Prison of Conscience, which began in 1961. There was an English lawyer by the name of Peter Benenson, and he started a project called he wrote an article called The Forgotten Prisoner, and it was part of a project, a campaign that he launched called Appeal for Amnesty. What they were attempting to do was bring recognition to prisoners across the world who were being repressed for their political views. And so in that article, The Forgotten Prisoner, he coined the term prison of conscience, and he defined that as anyone in prison because of their race, sexual orientation, religion, or political views. It also refers to those who have been imprisoned and or persecuted for the nonviolent expression of their conscientiously held beliefs. And so ultimately, what happened was they gained so much support within a year that they became Amnesty International, the group today that's most notable for fighting to get political prisoners released around the world. Why we adopt that term is because, particularly at that time, 1961, the focus was on political prisoners outside of the country. There really hadn't been a major mission by the government to utilize incarceration as a means of political repression. What we see moving into the 80s with the drug wars, the crack cocaine epidemic, and the federal government beginning to become harsher on drug sentencing, and the particular targeting of minority communities, poor communities, with this war, we see an expansion in prison populations across the country. And we see that happening with the aid and assistance and financing of the federal government. And so we identify mass incarceration as in part as a means of political repression. And we identify that as being something that's specifically targeting people because of their race, among other factors. So moving forward into why we identify as the Virginia Prison of Conscience, first thing we want to say is that Virginia has been involved in the process of mass incarceration for some 40 years now, but it increased dramatically over the last 20 years, beginning in 1995, and that is because of what is known as truth in sentencing, which is the abolition of parole and the reduction of good time that can be earned in this state. Now, the Virginia Prison of Conscience, our primary objective is to end mass incarceration in Virginia. We have a very specific definition for that. We identify mass incarceration in Virginia as the continual creation, interpretation, and enforcement of laws and policies that cause an increase in the population of people who are under corrections control, specifically people in jails, prisons, immigration detention, on pretrial probation, parole, and those being punished for failure to pay fines, costs, and restitution. Now, one of the hidden tragedies that take place in Virginia's Department of Corrections and prison facilities is that people are oftentimes penalized for their political expression, for challenging the state and seeking a redress of grievance. What the state of Virginia has been skillful at, masterful at, is censoring both us and the public from one another, muzzling us while censoring the information that comes in and censoring the information that goes out to you all. And so what happens in here is there's a few ways that they punish us for becoming political. Here recently, I was transferred from a prison to this prison and placed in solitary confinement off the allegations that I was organizing a work stoppage. They had no evidence of this. This came from prison snitches. But it was more than that. The reality is I'm identified by them as a political prisoner because I encourage guys to learn the law. I encourage guys to challenge their condition. And I demand that I tell them to demand that their government responds to them in a responsible way, in a constitutional way. And because of that, I'm looked at as a threat. I've had staff tell me recently that, you know, the state sees me as a political activist. And because I'm a political activist, you know, I'm being blackballed from jobs. I'm being Kaepernicked as we speak. I'm not being allowed to involve myself in programs. But I'm not unique. This is one of the ways that they silence us. This is one of the ways that they keep prisoners from being involved in challenging the state and challenging these people to be more responsible with their lives. So this is something that happens in Virginia. In the 90s, the late 90s, they created the super maximum security prisons, Red Onion and Walnut Ridge, Sussex 1 and Sussex 2. And these prisons, while being sold to the public as being places that were needed to house out-of-control prisoners, the truth is these prisons are designed to break the will to resist that exists in prisoners. Since those prisons opened, Red Onion has decreased its population in half because they haven't had the prisoners to fit there, and the security levels in some of the other prisons have had to drop. Walnut Ridge went from a level 6 when it initially opened to be at a level 5 because they just don't have those caliber prisoners in the state of Virginia. The state of Virginia is not a violent prison system in comparison to many prison systems around the country. And so that's by design. And so the Virginia prisoner of conscience is one who becomes politically conscious, who identifies the reasoning for his incarceration. That speaks specifically to black men and Hispanic men who are being targeted in a very peculiar way by the government because of their race and because of their social status. But this also applies in the second part as far as being penalized for your willingness to speak out and be political to white people. And so this is not a movement that is very uniquely specific to blacks or whites or any group, but it applies differently depending on the circumstance. And so what we ultimately plan on doing is we would like to, promote awareness among the incarcerated. And we also want to promote awareness among you all, you know, in the fields of law, prison reform, politics, community rebuilding, reentry. And we would like to possibly motivate you all to get involved in our struggle. The goal for us is to ultimately centralize the movement, become more organized, institutionalize the movement so that we can be better prepared to challenge this system. We're going to need your help with that. So look forward to hearing a lot more from us. Continue to follow us on the Facebook page, End Mass Incarceration in Virginia. Continue to follow us on the Coalition for Justice website. You can follow me on Ascari Donso on Facebook. And we look forward to you all organizing with us and being involved in struggle. Our motto is mass incarceration affects us all because it does. Let's learn how these struggles intersect. Peace to you all, and thank you for listening.